So it's good to be here tonight, and thank you for that last song leading us into peace. That's great, and it was a really good way, Mark, I thought, to just lead us in a bit of that, so thank you. So shall we just pray before I speak? Father, we thank you that your presence is so precious and important. We thank you, Lord, that you come to bring your full measure of. And you want that to be laid upon us this evening. And part of that is your peace. So, Father, we thank you that you bring all good things to us. And tonight we offer you this evening. Please open our hearts and our minds to hear what you want to say to us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to carry on with our study that we've been having in the evenings about peace. And that peace is really kind of precious, and actually it's scarce. It's a commodity that seems actually really hard to find sometimes, and perhaps it's even harder to hold on to, particularly when we go through difficult things. And so we've had a couple of talks on peace that have been looking at peace in different ways, and I want to try and build on that tonight. And context for this evening, as we heard from the reading from Nick, basically is Jesus appearing to his disciples after his resurrection. And I believe that that's a message for us. It's something I think can speak into our hearts, our lives, and it can help us to get a hold and feel and receive peace. But actually, it's not just about us receiving peace, it's also about bringing peace actually, to bring peace and to live lives of peace, and we'll come on to that. So we start this evening at the beginning of that reading where it basically says it was the first day of the week, the evening of the first day of the week. What a day that was, a long and momentous day, wasn't it? It starts with Mary visiting the tomb. It says something about, you know, early in the morning she kind of goes. And that same evening, when everything, frankly, has changed, no one would ever be the same again. And the disciples were just kind of trying to make sense of it. You know, who had seen what? What could be believed? Where on earth do we go from here? What does it all mean? Well, judging from the mood of the evening, it was obviously a worrying time. They were, unsurprisingly, the disciples, scared of what would happen next. They wanted to know whether the Jews would come looking for them, come after his followers. And what would they do now that their beloved leader, teacher, was gone? How had it all happened so quickly? And what would become of them as individuals? And all those stories about Jesus being seen, that he was risen, that he was alive, this was not going to help the low profile that they had agreed. Let's keep quiet, let's keep it down. And they'd probably be sought after now for stealing the body. And what about poor Mary? She was so adamant that she had seen the Master. And yet surely that couldn't be true. And what about the angels in the tomb and Peter and John and their encounter? And the disciples that were coming to Emmaus, or going to Emmaus. It was all kind of shocking and confusing, wasn't it? And here they were all together, talking together, wondering, praying. But actually they wanted to keep everybody else away. They locked the doors. I don't know what they really thought they were going to keep away from that. If the Jews had wanted them, I'm sure the Jews would have just broken in. And it certainly didn't stop the risen Christ, did it? And then suddenly, in the midst of them, there was Jesus. I guess that was a shock. I guess, what were they thinking? Was it a ghost? Was it an apparition? What was happening? And then Jesus gave that familiar greeting, one that they would have heard many times from him. Peace be with you. His words were perhaps never more welcome, never more needed than they were that night. It was Jesus. Or was it actually? Certain. He shows them his side and shows him his hands. And it's interesting that it says in the passage tonight, it was only then that the disciples believed when they put their hands in his side and hands. And the passage states that when they saw the Lord, that's when it all happened. Maybe that was the point where it became abundantly clear to them. And until that point, they weren't quite sure. And I wonder if we have had Jesus in our midst, and yet we didn't know he was there. Jesus had promised them that he would rise again. Destroy this temple, he said, and I will build it again in 3 days. Ironically, the chief priests were well aware that Jesus was going to rise again, because they went specifically to Pilate and asked him to put a guard on the tomb, because they were concerned that the disciples would come and steal their body. But the disciples, they'd not understood it when Jesus said it to them, but now they understood it. And I don't know about you, but maybe sometimes we forget what Jesus says to us as well. Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together, there I am with you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, to name just a few of them. But is always living within us now, involved, intimately involved in everything that we do. But maybe sometimes we feel alone. We feel Jesus is far, far away from us. Not thinking, not interested, not really caring about us. And we forget those promises that matter. We forget that he loves us and that his greatest desire is to spend time with us. I had a phone call on Friday. A very strong Christian who's been suffering from cancer. And she admitted to me that she had been through a really, really dark time where God seemed so far away from her that he didn't care, that he'd given up on her. And she told me that a doctor had been talking to her, a Christian doctor, who had encouraged her and told her that God hadn't forgotten her. He wasn't far away, but sometimes it's difficult when we miss times. And he encouraged her to read Psalm 91, a personal favorite psalm of mine. And she realized, having gone through that and read some of those things, that God was close. God did love her. And she felt peaceful, she said, in terms of her relationship with Jesus again, that this was the place. She knew that he was there, even though he felt far away. And Jesus had a feeling, not just of his appearance, which must have, I say, be quite sort of shocking and amazing, but actually he knew their fears. He knew they were worried about what was going to happen, what was their future going to hold, that they were frightened about their lives, frightened maybe about almost everything. But they needed Jesus. They needed the one who is able to keep us in perfect peace. Before I move on, I want to bring out 3 things about peace. What it is, how does it manifest itself, and importantly, how can we get hold of it? So 2 weeks ago, Mark talked about the fact that people tend to talk about peace as though it's the it's something that we enjoy when we have no worries, when everything is going well. Even the dictionary definitions tend to talk about peace as the absence of strife or conflict. We heard in the last 2 weeks that that's not the case. And of course we know that peace that we're talking about is so much more. It's a peace that enables us to face our fears. We can face our doubt. Maybe it's a peace that helps us to deal with strife or conflict or worries about our health, our life, our family, our work. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is that gets in the way of our peace, that separates us from God. But whatever it is, Jesus' peace is enough to cover all of those things. He can bring that sense of comfort into our lives, that sense of not being alone, not having to travel on our own, not having to deal with everything alone. And he's able to take away that dimension of fear that makes it harsh and really difficult to deal with. He can soften those edges, that of loneliness and that sense of despair. And he wants to do that. That's what Jesus brings. Peace be with you, he says. And I know that many of you will know that when we talk about peace, we often talk about shalom. which is the sort of Old Testament word for peace, a Hebrew word. And we know, don't we, that it has a far, far broader meaning than just the absence of strife and difficulty. The New Testament word, irene, that's used here, has that same sense of well-being, that same sense of wholeness, of favour, of God being with us and resting with us, whatever the situations. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus is able and willing to pass on that peace to us. He is described in Isaiah as the Prince of Peace. It's part of his very nature. Jesus is speaking to me about needing to take on the way that Jesus was. And he had peace about him. He brought peace to others. And unsurprisingly, of course, part of the Holy Spirit, part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. And that's something that we all have access to and have within us. So that's what it is. And how does it manifest itself? Well, I think it's true to say, firstly, that I don't believe that I found or experienced the fullness that we can find here. And I think that's for several reasons, not least because actually I'm not sure we can really ever get hold of that full experience of Jesus and the fullness that Christ had in that sense. But I also believe that God provides peace in the measure to which we need it, depending on the circumstances that we have. If you remember Stephen, when he was coming to be stoned, he had peace and serenity about him that he needed at that time. Or Paul, bless him, with his shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonment and all the different things that he went through. And when he knew he was facing the end of his life as well, he had a peace, an inner peace. The disciples before the Sanhedrin, when they had to stand up and say things, they had a new boldness about them. They had a peace about them because Jesus had said that they would know the words to speak. And I don't know what circumstances you find or are faced with at the moment, but God's peace can change our internal experience as well as our external face and can deal with those things. But I have experienced something of that peace. I've mentioned on previous occasions that sometimes I find it hard to make important decisions and I don't know which way to turn, and I become actually anxious sometimes about whether I'm doing the right thing, whether I've got it right. And I've had a number of examples in my life where I found that talking to God and crying out to him has genuinely helped me. And sometimes that's been really incredibly surprising for me. I remember a time when I was asked to take over a project that was a really massive project, a £1 billion project. It had loads and loads of people, multi-dimensional, all sorts of things, and I felt incredibly inadequate. I really did not want to do that, and I basically decided that I was going to refuse to do this because I didn't feel in any way that I could do that. And I remember going out for a walk and just walking around and talking to God about it, just bringing it to him, and you know, just trying to confirm that I was doing the right thing. And I really sensed that he was actually saying completely opposite. He said he wanted me to do that, and I didn't fancy it. So after that walk and talk, if you like, I did feel it, and I was able to go in and say, yeah, okay, I'll do that, you know, I'll need help, and I needed help from God. On a number of occasions, as I had to deal with difficult things that I knew, frankly, very little about, I really felt that sense of peace because I knew that that was something that God wanted me to do. And I'm worrying about people or situations, perhaps when they're facing sickness and illness and difficulties, and I'm still concerned. Of course I'm still concerned, but I have a greater level of trust in God because I've taken it to him and I believe that he's been supporting me. Sometimes I sense that it's going to be okay and that's, I feel better about that. Other times, I don't necessarily feel that. I don't know. There are no guarantees in what God is going to do. I do feel that God is with me, and I feel that I'm better able to cope with those things because I have the peace of God coming on me and helping me through that. And I'm sure, like me, you know people who have said to you, after perhaps a long illness or they've been going through a really, really tough time, that they'll say, I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I managed it without God. You know, if I hadn't been a Christian, if I hadn't known God, if I hadn't been able to receive that peace, I would not have coped with that situation. So how can we get hold of this? Well, you know, just let you know, I'm no expert in these things. I do not have all the answers. But I do know, above all else, that we have a loving Father who cares about us and who wants to be involved in our lives. And I think that's the kind of fundamental. We have to acknowledge that and to know that he has a love for us that can go over everything. And God's amazing. Sometimes he just kind of steps in, it seems to me. And it seems that he takes over and leads us through that fire and deep water. And we haven't asked him. He's just come in and done that. But I think in my experience, that's not the norm. That's not the way it kind of normally works. I think God wants us to seek him. God wants us to call out to him. And he wants us to draw near to him. And when we do that, he's near to us. And as we spend time with him, I think we better understand and appreciate what he's trying to do in our lives, what his picture is, what his approach is. And I think as part of that, we can find peace, not just in terms of walking in his will, but knowing that we're walking with him beside us. But I guess, if I'm honest, my normal experience is kind of crisis type stuff, when the chips are down, and I cry out like David would have cried out in the Psalms to God and asked him to help me. And it never ceases to amaze me how gracious he is, how deep the Father's love for me, how deep the Father's love for you, for all of us, that he would still answer our prayers despite everything. And he gives us that help and that grace and that peace that we need in different situations where we find it too hard and too... A few thoughts on the ways that we might grab that then. So I started off, I think we do need to spend time with God. He does want to renew our minds. He does want to purify our hearts. And that doesn't just happen. That does take time. Thank goodness he comes in sometimes unexpectedly. But generally, if we can immerse ourselves in him, then we can have his peace inside us. Read our Bibles. Some of the great promises that are in the Bible to give us that peace. We've talked about some of them already, you know. But things like cast your burdens on him because he cares for you. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. But the Bible is full of them. Just go in, if you're thinking about going on hope, have a look through some of the things that the Bible... Trust is one of the most important things when it comes to allowing God to impact us. It's good to read what it says. We need to believe that, and then we do need to trust him. I think sometimes peace is different in different circumstances. If we feel we're largely in charge of what we're going to do, we've got things to do and we need to make some decisions, then I think we need to guide us and to help us through those things, to give us wisdom to deal with that. But sometimes there's absolutely nothing we can do. When somebody's on the operating table in theatre, we can't do anything other than to pray to God and ask him to take charge of that situation, both in terms of the healing for the individual, but also in terms of allowing peace to fall within us. And God wants to be asked. He wants to give us that strength, but he wants us to cry out to him. And we have to hand those things over to him, don't we? We can't keep snatching them back. We need to give them to him. And I know that's difficult, and I find it hard too, and I have to keep doing it. You know, it's not a one-off thing. You know, there you go, God, I'm great now. Sometimes you have to kind of, I certainly have to keep going back over it and reminding myself when those thoughts come in, no, I've given it to the Lord. Let him take that. And when God speaks to us through his word, through Christian friends, or sometimes specifically says things into our lives, we need to hang on to those and use them when the time is right. So a final thing about peace in this sense is that peace is amazing and it does change radically things. But remember ultimately that God is in charge. And in Matthew 10 he reminds us, and those who are reading it, that he came not to bring peace, actually. He came to bring peace. And God is in charge of everything. And things will not always be peaceful, even when we are walking in God's path and we're using his strength. But he has promised nonetheless that that peace will come upon us and be with us and enable us to do the things that he wants us to do. So anyway, back to the passage. It's significant in the passage that Jesus says a second time, peace be with you. And I'm sure that that first time when Jesus was there and he gave that warm greeting, the one that they were familiar with, I think he probably used that just to kind of literally bring a bit of peace and calm them down a bit, because they were, you know, what on earth is going on? But he chose to say it again a second time, and I think he did it because he wants to go deeper. He wants to be more profound about what he's saying. It's not just a greeting now. He basically wants to cover them with his peace. He wants them to carry that peace. So I think he's doing it to both comfort them and encourage them. Because as the talk goes on, as he talks, it's about the future. He's going to talk about the future. He's going to talk about that call that Keith talked about this morning. As the Father has sent me, so I send you, he says. And I don't need to talk about the mission that we've been given. That was covered by Keith this morning. And we know that mission. But we shouldn't be surprised if we know Jesus. When he asks us to do something, he's going to give us the peace to help us do that. And going to give us the tools that we need to enable us to deal with that. And he doesn't give us peace, it seems to me, just for the current issues. He doesn't give us peace just to make us feel better, although it does, and that's really important. He does it because it's part of our Christian, part of what Jesus wants us to receive. It's part of the equipment that we need to carry on and do his will and be his hands and feet. And that gift of the Holy Spirit comes to us as well through the gift of peace comes to us through the Holy Spirit. So part of the calling that we have then is to live lives of peace. It says in the Bible, as far as it's possible, we should live in peace with all men. Blessed are the peacemakers. I wonder, do we bring peace into situations, or do we increase the tensions? Do we ratchet things up and bring problems, or are we peacemakers in the midst of all that? We say, don't we, in our services, peace of the Lord be always with you. We say it at communion and at other times. And it's not just a little statement instead of saying, and it's not so we don't start a conversation. It's literally blessing the other people, blessing each other, imparting God's peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. It's a reminder, actually, that we have that peace inside us because of who we are in Christ, and that it's valuable and it's good to share that. Sometimes people aren't feeling quite as at peace as they might. And like many things in the Christian life, it's not to be stored up and held inside us. It is to be shared and to be given to others. And despite what the media tries to say today, the Christian faith is desirable. It is available. And the best way to see that is in lives that are turned over to Christ, where they're demonstrating actually the way they live, that they do have that peace, do have God's peace in our hearts. A world is crying out for peace. And it's not that momentary peace, it's lasting. It's the peace that the world can't give. And that comes, as we know, from God, but it comes into us, and it can also come through us into other people. So tonight, as we consider peace, real peace, super peace of God that passes all understanding, that will set us free from fear and doubt, we need to appreciate that that is a real gift. My peace I give to you, Jesus said to his disciples. But he says that to us tonight as well. Whatever we're facing, my peace I give to you. And if it's a difficult time, he wants us to receive that peace tonight. He wants us to trust in him. So if we're struggling, whatever it is that we're going through, I believe he wants us to call out to him. I believe he wants us to ask him to give us that peace that he alone holds. Peace, I don't think, is nebulous, but rather it's very real and it's very practical. And when you have it, you know it. And you know that too, don't you? It can feel incredibly uncomfortable. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is the answer. My peace I leave with you, peace I give you, Jesus says. So as I bring this to a close, I want us to reflect on peace. And I'm going to ask you to sort of get together in little groups in a minute. And I want you to think about, in several different ways, whatever's right for you, whatever you feel is most appropriate. It may be that right now, my soul is disquieted within me, as David puts it. We're feeling completely ill at ease, and we don't have that peace inside us. And if we need to call out for that, we should do that. And maybe in your groups, you can just be prepared to pray into those situations. Don't have to have great details, just we need God's peace at the moment, and we can just pray into that situation. Or maybe tonight, you realize that you could actually bring a bit more peace to those around you, in the relationships that you have, in the interactions that you have, be it at home, at work, with friends, whatever it is. Maybe you could just release a little bit more of that peace and think about your impact in those situations. Or maybe remind us that actually the world does need God's peace, and it's only going to find out about that peace if we share it. If we tell them how different it can be when you have God's peace resting on you, when you know you're going through difficult times, but you know what it is to have a God that you can trust in, that you can lean on, that you can stand by. And maybe it's worth thinking about that. Or maybe you've got such great stories about how it's already affected your life. A time when you really go back to where you found God's peace at that time you needed it most. Maybe it would encourage the others just to share that. So just for 5 minutes or so, it would be good, I think probably, four or five, something like that. You don't all have to share. Feel free to receive rather than share if that's what you want to do. But if we could do that, and then we'll just close this piece, and Eden can do close it down in worship as well. It sounds like you're all doing a good job. So I'm just going to get Eden to kind of carry on in terms of worship. I just wanted to finish this bit by just reading the bit from 2 Thessalonians, where it says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way, and that the Lord be with you all." Carry that peace to others as well as holding it within yourselves. So let's finish with some time of worship.